church ought to be just like family. Now, not a fighting family and not an arguing family, but a loving family that's there for each other. And I appreciate the privilege to come and be with you tonight. I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture, verse number 19. When you find your place, say amen. Amen. I just like hearing amens. All right, verse 19. For the Lord brought low Judah low, for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, Lord, for your loving kindness that you've shown to us. God, how that we are thinking today about so many times that we have messed up in our life. God, how that we had failed so many times, but yet, God, the reason we understand grace is because we understand that, God, we really didn't deserve another opportunity. But because of your love, you gave it to us anyway. And Lord, I don't want to take that for granted. But God, I don't want to use it for license to sin. But God, I want to use it, Lord, to draw me closer. And I pray that might be what happens here this week. Lord, that you might show up and show yourself and who you are to us. And Lord, may we see the great need of following you. God, I pray you reveal some things in our life that needs to be revealed this week. Dear God, that you might not just reveal it, but God, that we might confess these things. And Lord, that we might get these things clean inside of us, that we might be vessels of honor that might be used of thee. I thank you, Lord, for the good report that we've heard, how that you've been blessing here and how that souls are being added to the church. God, I pray that you'd continue to do that. God, I realize that down the last few years, they've been some hard times. God, they've been some struggles. They've been some things that maybe they didn't understand why they were going through them. God, surely at times we don't understand what we're going through. But God, I just know that you're sovereign. God, I know that you're in complete control of our life. And God, I desire it to be there. God, you know what lies ahead. You know what, God, dangers and things that we might be confronted of. But God, thank you for just being the providence of God. For just God being God to us. Now help us as we try to preach tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to try to preach a little while tonight from this thought. Following the wrong man. Following the wrong man. You know, I believe that we'll never be any better than the man that we follow. Whether it be a nation, I don't believe the United States of America can ever be any greater than its leaders. I don't believe that a church can ever be any better than its leaders. And I don't believe that a home can ever be any better than the leaders in his home. And maybe you don't agree with me, but I think America needs some work in its leadership. Amen. I believe our churches today, my, as I travel across America today, church has just become a social club. It's not a place of worship. It's not a place where we confess sin, but it's just a place where we go to make ourselves feel good. Well, I tell you what, we need some change to take place in our churches today. I mean, sometimes, I believe y'all got a wonderful pastor. But I tell you what, there are a lot of places don't. I thank God for the teachers you have here. But maybe they need to be some checking up that goes on this week. And then in our homes. Boy, I couldn't say enough about the mess that our homes is in today. and how that we need some leadership in our homes. Look at the messes they're in. Many homes, they're just one parent. Now, I'll tell you something. A lot of times we can't change the fact of what it is, but we can change this much. We can change the type of leader that we are in our home. I might not be able to change Diane in the type of wife and type of mama that she is, but I can change Neil and the type of daddy and the type of husband that he is. Because probably my kids will not be any better than what we are. I believe that down through time we have looked at our leaders and we have looked at heroes to be examples. But today, leaders and these people that are so-called heroes, they're setting bad examples. I mean, even today, when I went back to begin to study, I heard where that the governor of the great state of New York, who had always stood against evil, said that he was caught in this prostitution ring. That's our leader. And listen, I have no right tonight. I'm not here to judge him tonight. But I'm saying that, hey, if we're going to be a leader, we need to stand for something. We need to have some standards in our life. Our heroes used to be a lot of, you know, Babe Ruth and people that were sports celebrities. We'd put them up on a pedestal, and they had great character. They had to have great attitudes. Why, one of the things that I was taught when I was growing up was sportsmanship. I mean, you know, sportsmanship, hey, somebody's got to lose. And you're supposed to have a good attitude even when you lose. That's supposed to be teaching you something. But today, when we look at folks in sports, may I tell you what? If you're a loser, you're out. The coaches, you lose, you out. The ball players, you lose, you out. Used to, the ball players, they played ball because of their natural talents. But today they play ball because of the drugs that they can put inside their veins that can make them greater than what they are. May I tell you what? We need to be looking at a leader that will help us and encourage us as a nation, as a church, and as a home. Not somebody that'll tear it down. I believe this, and I'm getting ready to start my message. I just want to give a couple more little thoughts here. I believe the greatest two places in the whole world is the church and the home. Jesus gave himself for the church. A lot of times we belittle the church. Even we talk against the church. But may I tell you what? This is his pride. This is his joy. This is his life. This is his body. We need to make sure that the church has great leaders. Now look, we can't do a lot about what America is out there except vote. But may I tell you something? We are the church. And the church, I've often heard it said, will never be any better than its homes that's represented in the church. And so maybe this week, maybe we need to look at our life individually as a mom and a dad and as a young man and a young lady. How that we're affecting other people around. Because, may I tell you what, a leader is this. They're people that's going to follow us. Other people are going to follow them. And I want to be that person when they follow me, that they're following after Christ. Maybe we need to look at it. Notice now, the man that they followed. First of all, his name was Ahaz. Ahaz, I looked that word up, and it means this. He has grasp. G-R-A-S-P. Grasp. It means like you're reaching out his hand and grasping something. It also means that he has took control. And then I believe that it had this meaning too, that he has taken possession. I'll tell you what, that scares me We're living in a day when it seems like that there's something grasping at our children. There's something grasping at our churches. There's something grasping and trying to take control and possess our homes other than God. Look at this man. Three little things I want you to look at, and we'll be done and out of here. Number one, I want you to look at his walk. His walk. Because may I say this tonight, we might be a leader, but people are watching our walk. Children's watching our walk. The world's watching our walk. And the Lord Himself is watching our walk, because the Bible says this about Ahaz, that he did that which was not right. Not right. Not right in the sight of the Lord. Notice his walk. Three things about it. Number one, I believe his walk was a rebellious walk. That word rebel, I don't know, every time I hear the word rebel, my mind goes straight to the scriptures where it says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And yet it seems like that people today are rebelling right and left. Our children are rebelling. And see, we don't want to use the Word of God anymore as a tool and as instruction how to raise our children. We're letting some talk show host tell us how to raise our kids. Listen, this man did that which was not right. Notice his rebellion, number one, against his father's teaching. His father, the Bible says, did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, or in the sight of the Lord. But here come Ahaz along, after his dad had taught him the way to go, and he rebelled. That word rebel means to rise up against, or to turn against. And that his dad had taught him, he turned against that. And may I say, that's exactly what's happening in our society today. That our children are rebelling against that which we're teaching. They're following the wrong man. Not that dad is wrong or that mom is wrong, but boy, I'm telling you, something is possessing them and is reaching out and grasping them and getting them to rebel. May I tell you what? That is just not the way it's supposed to be. Kids are not supposed to be rebellious. What gets people in trouble today is when they rebel. And rebellion starts not when they're 12 or 16 years old, but rebellion starts many times when they're just small children. And may I say, a lot of times we allow them to rebel. And when we allow them to rebel, we don't stop them at that point. Then they think that it's all right and they will continue years and years until they get so rebellious they're out of control, they're possessed. We say, what are we going to do with them? Let's just turn them over to the government. Let's let some other society raise these people. When if we would have took control of this situation when they're small. What I'm saying is, sometimes if we'll not let sin get out of hand, if we'll not let the sins that try to grasp us and pull us into the things of the devil and things of the world, if we'll not let them get out of hand, if we'll handle it as soon as it happens, there's none of us without sin. But yet, it's how we handle sin that's going to change and affect our life. Notice, number one, he rebelled against his daddy's teaching. Are you here tonight and you've been rebelling? Mom and daddy's trying to get you to listen, trying to teach you the right things. And maybe by chance you're here tonight and mom and daddy don't even care. Mom and daddy's out there so far strung out on drugs, and you think, well, they don't care. I'm not rebelling against them. I'm just following what they're doing. Can I tell you what? Maybe that's the reason that we need to be great leaders in our churches, in our, not only as a preacher here, but in our Sunday school class. Maybe we're becoming the mama and daddy of these young people, and they need to look to us for a standard of living. Listen, even though mom and daddy might not even do right, we're not to rebel against them. There's a lot of things I used to think that my mom and daddy was wrong in. But my daddy had made me respect him. So if I thought he was wrong, I wouldn't tell it. I remember one time as a little boy, and I probably weren't over 5-6 years old. My grandpa had a sand pile at his house, and I thought if you had a sand pile, that was meant to play in. But my grandpa was building something about his basement, and he was using it for bricks and mortar, and he had this wire on top of it, and I was throwing that wire off of that sand pile, and I was playing it and scattering that sand everywhere. My grandpa, he'd come down there, and with authority, he said, boy, you get that wire back on there and quit throwing this sand. I looked at him and I said, you're not my boss. Well, I thought my mom and daddy was my boss. But can I tell you something? My grandpa, he lived to his 91 years old, and I always knew from that day forward he was my boss. He always, to the day he died, he always brought up about who was my boss. What I'm saying is, hey, rebellion. It's almost our nature to try to rebel. But my grandpa, he just nipped it in the bud real fast about if I was going to be boss by him or not. When I was down at his house, I knew he was the boss, and I listened to him. Number one, he rebelled against his daddy's teaching. Number two, he rebelled against right and wrong. See, his daddy did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But the Bible said that he did that which was not right in the eyes of the Lord. So what he had done, he had stood up, he had turned against what was right, and he went for wrong. Can I tell you what? There's a lot of things that years ago, it used to be wrong. We used to stand up in our churches and say, hey, this is wrong. But today, you know what? We're about to let it to become right. But this man, Ahaz, rebelled against what was right and wrong, and it led him to the path that he was going to take. May I tell you, if you keep rebelling against what's right and you do what's wrong, it will not lead to a good end. You say, well, what if daddy don't whip me? What if mama don't correct me? It will still not lead to a good end. He rebelled against his daddy. He rebelled, or the teachings of his daddy. He rebelled against right and wrong. And number three, he rebelled against God. That's what it lead to every time. We'll rebel against God. See, the bottom line was not his daddy and his daddy's teaching, but it led to God being right in the sight of the Lord. So his walk, number one, was not right in the eyes of the Lord. He was rebellious in his walk. Number two, his walk was a walk like others. You pay attention to this. His walk was a walk like others. In verse number 2, I believe it is, of chapter 28 there, that it says there that he did like the other kings of Israel had done. They had made molten image unto Balaam, and so that is what he did. What will get you in trouble so many times is when you do what everybody else is doing. How many times did I hear this? Well, so-and-so, they do that. So-and-so, They're not but 16 and they getting tattoos. And I'm not here to preach against tattoos.
Wrong way, come on now.
I'm not here to do that. But when we're just wanting to be like other people, can I tell you something? We're supposed to be peculiar. We're supposed to be different. You say, well, I don't want to be different. Well, then why do you want to be a Christian?
Uh-oh, come on.
You don't want to be a Christian when it comes time to go to heaven versus hell. Well, if you want to be a Christian, then you're going to have to live like a Christian. And that is not living like others. He made the molded image to Balaam. And that's exactly what people are doing today in their walk. After they rebel against mom and daddy, after they rebel against right and wrong, after they rebel against God, then they began serving something else. How many young folks was raised in this church that today is not even in church as serving God? But they've made some molded image somewhere. It might be a golf course, it might be the river that they go and fish in every Sunday. Somewhere, they're making a molded image in their life and following that. Notice, I got to hasten on or I ain't going to get done tonight. Not only was he rebellious in his walk, and that his walk was like others, but listen to this. Thirdly, in his walk was one that he desired to please others. Not that he just wanted to be like others, but he wanted to please others. Do you know who he wanted to please? Can I tell you something? When you rebel against God, you'll be just like Ahaz, and your desire will be to please the heathens. You know what the heathens were doing? The heathens were sacrificing their young'uns. You know what Ahaz did? He sacrificed his young'un. He burned them literally in the fire and sacrificed them on the heathen gods. Can you believe that? Can you believe that someone would sacrifice their young'uns? I tell you, you can get so warped in your mind, you'll do a lot of things you think you won't. But you'd say, preacher, I'd never do that. I'd never sacrifice my... Never sacrifice my young'uns. I'll never forget. I just finished a meeting a few weeks ago in a Popka, Florida. It's the third time I've been there. And boy, it just seemed like every time we always have just a wonderful meeting. And I'll never forget the first time I went there. I mean, God, he showed up. And boy, I just never quite seen anything quite like it. The piano player, she had a son. He and his wife had gotten killed in an accident. And they had their kids with them, and the kids were thrown out. They were just babies, but they didn't get killed. But the son and the daughter-in-law both got killed. And that God got in that thing so much one night. The daughter of the piano player, this boy's sister, she stood up and she said, look, I've sinned against God. I've been angry at God for him taking my brother and his wife and leaving these kids with my mama and my daddy. And boy, she poured her heart out there. And I thought, oh God, something's going to happen. God's going to move by the move that was taking place here. And I went back again. Not this time, but time before last. And my first question was, well, how about this sister here? What about, where's she been? And here's what they said. They said that she had three children, I believe. One of them was real good at playing soccer. And she had determined in her heart he was going to be a soccer star. She didn't show up at church until the last night. This time she never showed up at all. Can I tell you what she's doing? Now, whether we like this or not, it's not pleasant, but she is sacrificing her children. I'll tell you, there ain't nothing worth the souls and lives of our children. They might not do what we tell them to do, but I tell you what, when they small, we could have them in the house of God. If they rebel when they get older, I can't help that. But when they're young, they can be in the house of God listening to the preaching so that their lives, they'll at least know the truth. This man, his walk was that he was rebellious, and then he desired to be like other people, and then his desire was to please other people. Can I tell you something? You ain't going to please them. I don't care what you do. You can be like them. You can quit church. You can take your little boy to the soccer matches and miss Wednesday night services and revival services, but I'll promise you they still won't like you. Your boy won't be good enough. Your girl won't be good enough. And they'll kick you to the curb and your heart will be broken. And you'll cry, "Oh, God!" We need to follow the right man. They had followed the wrong man. Ahaz, he'd got a grasp on them. He'd possessed them. He'd possessed the children of Israel. Notice now, not only do we see his walk, but watch his withdrawal. His withdrawal. That word withdrawal, it means to remove or to retract. Boy, that's a word we hear a lot lately. Where somebody, they say, "Well, I used to believe that it was wrong to have abortion, but I want to retract that." I used to believe it was wrong to live with somebody, but can I retract that? I used to teach against sin, but I want to retract that. And it also not only means remove, retract, but it also means to depart from. Now this is the kind of man that they were following. This is the kind of man that the world's following. That's the reason our churches ain't full. Notice his withdrawal. Number one, we find where that he cut up the vessels in the Lord's house. Those holy vessels, the things that were used to worship God, he cut them into pieces. You say, "Preacher, well, we don't have those vessels." It's not meaning the offering plates. But you know what? How often have you had preacher for lunch in front of your kids? We've cut him into pieces, and our children saw us do it. They heard us do it. How many times have we took the Word of God and said, "Well, I don't believe it's like that anymore. I used to." You know how many people today, I could name names of people today that used to have standards. They even brought their kids up believing things, and today they wouldn't even listen to preaching like this. You know why? Because they need a preacher to be dignified. Listen, I believe a preacher ought to be dignified too. But I believe he ought to have the power of God on him when he's dignified. But look, this man, he cut into pieces the vessels that was used to worship. You beware of people that's cutting the pieces that's used to worship God. Number two in his withdrawal, then he shut the doors to the house of God. Hey, we're talking about a man that's trying to possess. He's trying to get control, and he shut the doors to the house of God. Pretty much that's what they're doing today. You look at our schools today. You know when they go to have ball games and ball practice on Wednesday night? I'll tell you what, they wouldn't do that if we had the guts to stand up. I got a preacher friend in Sanford, North Carolina. He had a boy that was an awesome baseball pitcher. I mean, his school, he played in minor league ball. He was awesome, is what they said. They was going to have practice on Wednesday night too. And this preacher, he said, now look. He said, we go to church on Wednesday night and we have revivals. If you want my boy, he can be here in practice anytime we're not having church. But if we have in church, just know that he won't be there. And do you know what they did? They worked their schedule around that church. That's exactly right. That is the way it should be. And if we'd start standing up once in a while, if there's some, and most of the people, our kids that play, most people on that team, their moms and dads say, oh, I'm a Christian. I go over here to church. Well, then let's just get together then. Hey, we're talking about how that unity can have so much power, and I believe it can. I believe if most of moms and dads will stand up and say, look, it just ain't going to happen, I believe they'll change it. Amen. Especially, you get some of those that's good in that team, and they're going to want that team. Anyway, then he shut the doors to the house of the Lord so people couldn't go. That's the kind of grass, that's the kind of man he was. I don't want him going to that church. And then notice, and then he put out the lamps. He put out the lamps. I've thought on that a little bit. Now, I believe this. I believe today that they're trying to put out the testimonies of the people of God. You go to churches, very few churches anymore that stand up and praise God. Very few churches anymore say, hey, preacher, I just got to thank God for what he's done for me this week. Boy, I got good news when I went to the doctor. Boy, I just want you to know he has touched my body. I just want you to know he has enabled me to pay this bill. Boy, I tell you what, he just about put out our lamps. But what I think it really is, and see, he put out the fire. I told Brother Randy today, I'm going to work on this scripture. Over in Leviticus, chapter number 6, there when they was talking about the burnt offering, they talked about that fire would never be put out. But the thing they had to do, they had to make sure that they took the ashes out every day. You know what the ashes are? The ashes was the fire they had yesterday. Can I tell you what? Yesterday's ashes can put out today's fire. A lot of folks is living on yesterday, and the fire's going out. But he put the flame out. But can I tell you something? He put the flame out, but the oil was still in there. You'll find that again in the next chapter. The oil was still there. Can I tell you? The oil represents the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God. It's there. Don't let somebody that's trying to possess you get control of you, put your flame out. And then the next withdrawal was that he stopped them from burning incense, from praying. Let me say this. I kind of told you wrong there. He didn't stop them from praying, but he stopped them from praying unto God. But under every green tree, every high place, there he wanted them to burn incense to some god of the heathens. And that's what they're trying to get you to do today. Quit putting your faith in the Lord. Put in some god of the heathens. That feel good will get you in. It just never happened. Then, lastly, on withdrawal, there was a general departing of worship. It's what he caused them to do. Most of the people quit worshiping God. And look today. I told Brother Randy, I was in Apopka, same place I was talking about a while ago, Orlando. Preacher and I was standing out there in the yard. And I'll be honest, folks, I've been running air conditioning ever since the middle of January, day and night. And boy, it's just a big shock about to get up here and to be in this cold weather, amen? But we was standing out there in the yard, and we was talking to this little girl. She came up, and she was asking about, did we see her brother run by on a bicycle? And we got to talking to her about the Lord and inviting her to church. And so she said, hey, we worship God at home. Can I tell you what? There's a general departing of people worshiping God in the church. Can I tell you what? God gave Himself for the church. I believe that He has ordained the church. And for us to go and say, no, I'm going to worship God at home. I'm not saying that we can't worship God in spirit and truth wherever we at. But He said, forsake not the assembly of yourself together. So we see the withdrawal. I'm going to finish this thing up. And then lastly, we see His writings. We saw His walk. Who are we talking about? We're talking about following the wrong man. We saw His walk. We saw the withdrawal. And lastly, we see His writings. In verse number 26, His writings is this. What is said about Him after He dies? What's going to be said about us? Oh, that when I die, that my kids would say, boy, that was a good daddy right there. Boy, he tried to teach me. I could say my daddy's still living. But I could say my mom and daddy, they were wonderful teachers. They taught me what was right and wrong. They tried to teach me about the things of the Lord. They tried to teach me and how to handle myself. I mean, that the golden rule always was at my house. Don't you treat anybody any different than the way you'd want to be treated. But here was a man, Ahaz. And what was written about him was that he did that which was not right in the eyes of the Lord. Is that what's going to be said about you? I want to close with this. A few months ago, I was in a camp meeting with and Brother Gentry, you might know this man. Brother Randy, you might know him. He was with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. He's on the board. His name is Brother Elvis. Elvis, his first name or last name? His first name is Elvis. Believe me, he didn't look like Elvis, so it ain't the same Elvis. But this man was probably in his mid to late 70s. And he told this story, and I want to close with it tonight. He said when he was a little boy, he said his mom and daddy was, I mean, they were strict. Now, they stood on what the Bible said. Hey, they weren't wanting to change it to a different version. But he wanted to stand on what the Bible said. And he said, I didn't like it. Can I tell you something? I remember when I was a little boy, I just wanted to go fishing on Sunday. No. It weren't no maybe. I'll think about it. No. And I grew older and I said, well, Daddy, I want to wash my car. No. Not on Sunday. What I said all that for is this. He said when his little boy, his daddy was real strict. And he said, I didn't like my daddy's rules. And as I got older, he said, it's like my mom and daddy stood right here. And he said, because I didn't like them rules, I'd try to get as far away from them rules as they'd allow me to get. And he said, I got over here just about like I was on a chain. And they let me move this far from what mom and daddy believed. And he said, that's where I put down my peg. That's where I raised my kids at. Didn't raise them over there where mom and daddy was and their standards, but I raised them right here. And my kids, when they got older, like me, they wanted to go away from what I was taught, what I was teaching them. And instead of being where I put down my peg, said they ended up over here. And said, when they had kids, my grandkids that I love so much,
They didn't teach them what I believed. It's over here. And he said, now they've got kids. See what's happening? We're so far from where we used to be. Are we better off? Kind of like you said a while ago, we might have been better off when we lived in an old shanty where you could look down the cracks and see the chickens. And when it snowed, the snow would fall on our bed. Might have been better off when we didn't have the money in the bank to pay a light bill. We'd have a little oil. We'd have wood. We'd heat it. Might have been better off when we didn't have air conditioning in the church and these padded pews. Boy, it ain't been so long ago. Back when they had the funeral home fans. But boy, the people just shout glory to God. People getting saved. Sin, boy, you didn't have to lock the doors to the church. Why? People feared God back then. But today, we've come a long ways. Following the wrong man. Are you a long ways from the way that you was raised? Have you rebelled against the teachings? Against right and wrong? And against God? And now you're just trying to please others and do like everybody else does. May I tell you, that's following the wrong man. They've got a grip on you. I don't know about you. I don't like for nothing to have a grip on me. Years and years and years ago, young ones, put your fingers in your ears, okay? I used to smoke. Boy, I love cigarettes. I just loved them. But I told everybody I was a Christian. I remember going to this man one time who was nothing but a drunk. He couldn't, and he'd tell me, he said, I can't help it. I was trying to witness to him about the Lord. And he said, I can't help it. I've seen him wallowing out there in the leaves behind an old building, just drunk as a skunk. And I walked out and I thought, Neil, you know different. That has such a grasp on you, the cigarettes does, that you can't quit that. Now, if I ain't careful now, I'm going to get over on gluttony, and I don't want to be over there. But the truth is, it tears me up from something other than my God to have a grip on me. That's going to change my life. And not only will it change my life, but it affects my children and my grandchildren and the people that I come in contact with. God, I don't know if I've got the strength to change it. But God, I'm going to put myself on this old-fashioned altar. Honey, if you'll get a song ready. I'm going to put myself on this old-fashioned altar tonight. And I'm going to lay it all down there. I need your help. I can't do it. I can't change it. But I don't like it. I don't know about you. But I'm going to get down there tonight. Because it's a daily thing of making sure I'm following the right one. As she plays, sings, you stand. God speaks to your heart. I don't know what you're going to do. But I got to get down there and talk to the Lord. I preach myself under conviction here. Well, I don't want to be following the wrong one and get further and further and further away. Mm-hmm.